Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I'd like to welcome you. You can watch today's program by going to, on your computer, or even your cell phone, Progressive Radio Network, Facebook, and you'll be able to see the program. Today, we're going to begin with the latest on health and healing, including being more socially active in your 40s and 50s and 60s predicts a lower risk of developing dementia later in life. This is a new study from the University College London, and I'll deal with that, about 15 other studies, all from peer-reviewed literature, all from respected institutions, and all not reported generally in the mainstream media. We will report them. Then a special in-depth, very dense, meaning very deep, commentary. An original investigative report by Richard Gale and myself on the skeptics, the cult of scientism, which controls some of mainstream medicine. Thank goodness, not all. Now, these are the people who you don't know, but when you Google something, let's say you want to find out about, well, you heard that there's some benefit to Chinese traditional medicine from their peer-reviewed literature, of which there are thousands of studies in our own government's library of medicine. So you Google it. And it comes back, Google takes you right over to Wikipedia. And then you look under traditional Chinese medicine, and it downplays it and mocks it. And for all intents and purposes, you come away thinking, well, I'm not going to try that. There's no benefit. We've pulled back all the curtains to show you who these people are. And more importantly, to the best that we can from their own writings, which we've been studying for months now, what are they trying to do? And why is it that no one else in the world that we're aware of has challenged them on the wrongheadedness by which they are approaching everything? And yet right now you could say legitimately that the skeptics, a small band of people, probably no more than about 100 people, working together on Wikipedia, controlling what you see, dominating it. If it's about chiropractic, they dominate it. Vitamins, they dominate it. Vegetarianism, GMOs, organic versus non-organic, they dominate it. And they're extraordinarily biased. Well, then we shouldn't be trusting them. We shouldn't be listening to them. And yet no one is challenging them. We are. But today, instead of normally, we take something they've written and we deconstruct it. We show you this is what they say, and then we show you what the actual scientific peer-reviewed literature, the majority of the literature, shows. We show that they're wrong on everything that they publish concerning health. Not going to do that today. Today, I'm just letting you know in advance, it's a very heady, intellectual, scholarly, deep statement. And we felt we needed something like this for all the people in the audience who have a background where you read deep literature. And in case there's ever in the future an opportunity to get this before Congress, now this didn't prevent you from taking this and sending it to your legislators, sending it to the media. So that's coming at you today also. And also today, I've decided to do something a little interesting. On the one hand, they're telling us that energy, you can't share energy, there's no exchange of energy, there's only atoms, and there's absolute science, and that's it. There's reductionist scientists, and that's it. Prayer, belief, hope, positive attitude means nothing. Well, I'm going to show you the results. I've never done this before. I decided this would be a good juxtaposition. We're going to show you why they don't believe in any alternative healing and why you should. They have theory. We have fact. They have projections of their bias, limited capacity to understand issues. We have an open concept that things can be approached from multiple approaches, multiple truths. They only have one truth. So, you're going to have an unusual program. Now, this is why I'm suggesting everyone get the Facebook so you can watch today's program, because you're going to want to see the faces of people, all the ethnicities, all the ages, all the background. Look into the eyes, not just hear the words. Now, for those of you who don't have that capacity, you'll hear them. But watching this, so you see when someone who has a terminal illness, who couldn't walk 5 feet without falling over, you'll see them coming up a road with everyone applauding them, giving them high fives as they finish 27 miles, more than a marathon. So did they do that? You could say they did it. We prove it. What would the skeptics do? Can they show us anyone with a terminal illness that can get up out of a wheelchair and go 26 miles and then be told they no longer have the disease from their own physicians? No, they can't. So now we're challenging with a complete paradigm anomaly. Those who believe in faith, those who believe in energy and what you can do, those who believe that we have epigenetics, that trauma from your grandparents, from your great-grandparents, from your great-great-grandparents can manifest in you, they don't believe that. And yet there are thousands of studies on epigenetics and how it influences. The trouble is we, who are on the right side of science and history and health, we have no support by the media whatsoever. They have all the support from the media. Also, on Friday, the FBI stated that now, if you are a conspiratorial person in your thinking, meaning if you believe that you can treat cancer alternative, you're going to be considered a domestic terrorist. If you're opposed to vaccines for any reason, you're a domestic terrorist. If you don't believe that GMOs are safe and you believe organic's better, you're a conspiratorial theorist. It's hard to believe that a group of individuals could be this dumb. But then again, the FBI has been nothing but corrupt through its entire history. We're going to bring on experts, professors, and show you what laws they've broken, how they violated our rights from their very beginning. This will be a surprise to Sean Hannity, who continues to have his head right up the ass of so many of the Orthodox police and government agencies, the National Security Agency, the CIA. He loves these organizations and probably everything they've ever done in regime change. And he only believes that there's a few bad ones somewhere. Sorry, Sean, that you are such a person living in denial, because I'm sure you really believe this. But your facts are wrong on these issues. So we're going to take you in a different place today. All right, and we begin with the latest on health and healing. By the way, I just want to say thank you to all the people who came yesterday to Woodstock. It was packed on Saturday, I should say. There was the largest theater in Woodstock was packed to the brim, only standing room, great group of people, and they saw the premiere of a film, plus I spent about an hour and a half answering questions. And we are in full support of the local station up there, who carries the program every day. So just want to thank them. I'll be up there in the near future premiering my new environmental film that's in final days of editing and post-production. And also for the people who attended our workshops yesterday, the depression, anxiety, loneliness workshop, packed. The arthritis and diabetes one, packed. But I've got a concept, if time permits, I'll be able to incorporate some of you who can't get there physically, who live in California or other places. We're going to expand it. But first we begin with what happens when you're socially active, when you have friends and you go to places and you engage in social activity as part of the joy of your life. Well, according to this longitudinal study published in PLOS Medicine, you being robust in your social contacts earlier in life, that can help stave off dementia. And dementia is the major global health challenge, with 1 million people expected to have dementia just in the United Kingdom coming up, and we have millions with dementia in the United States. And for those of you who don't know what dementia is or how to deal with it, I'm doing a whole hour on Progressive Commentary on recognizing dementia before it becomes full-blown and what you can do with some protocols that I've used to help people reverse it. In fact, in this program I'm going to show you, there is a woman, the wife of the gentleman who's 95, talking about how she's completely got her husband back versus him being lost in Alzheimer's fog, which is dementia. Anyhow, that'll be a whole hour. There is also, from the University of Pittsburgh, protective effect of sulforaphane in vascular cognitive impairment. That means that the major pathophysiological process of vascular cognitive impairment is chronic cerebral ischemia, which causes disintegration of the blood-brain barrier and your neurons dying and the white matter being injured in your brain. So along comes broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, kale, and mustard greens, and watercress. These are all rich in what is called sulforaphane and isothiocyanate. Now, the sulforaphane is based upon sulfur, which is extremely healing, and it's a natural activator of nuclear factor 2, which reduces chronic ischemic injury and cognitive dysfunction after you've had an event, a cerebral event. So this is very important. So what is the bottom line of understanding this? Eat your broccoli, eat your cruciferous vegetables, have some on a daily basis, and the sulforaphane, the chemical that gives it that little pungent flavor, and by the way, the same sulfur that's in, let's say, alpha-lipoic acid, gives it that smell, that's good for you. So you can help protect your brain, help protect against brain seizures and brain ischemic episodes, strokes. From the Medical College of Georgia, there is a discussion about whole body vibration, which shakes up your microbiome and reduces inflammation in diabetes. Now, in the face of diabetes, a common condition in which glucose and levels of destructive inflammatory agents like cytokines soar, whole body vibration appears to improve how well our body uses uses glucose, our blood sugar, as an energy source and adjusts our microbiome and immune cells to deter inflammation. This is what this does. And for the first time, they've described how regular use of whole body vibration can create this healthier mix of yielding a greater percentage of macrophages, which means cells that can both promote and prevent inflammation that suppress rather than, let's say, it suppresses the inflammatory process that diabetics have. So this is where your power walking, bicycling, this is where exercise really comes in, because you're promoting the body moving, you're getting your lymphatic system moving. Trampolines, move your lymphatic system, get those lymph glands draining, get all the bacteria, viruses, dead cells drain out. Now, unfortunately, if you're watching right now, your lymphatic system, frequently around the armpits, under the neck, and coming up around the bottom of the chest, when you have an overly constricted brawl, you constrict the lymph glands from being able to release their lymphatic fluid. When you have too tight of underwear, same thing. When you do a lot of bike riding, you're also compressing that area. So always good to have a loose-fitting clothes, especially your underwear and bra, and also to do some rebounding exercises, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups. All of those are good for that process. From Washington University School of Medicine, mice fed tryptophan developed immune cells that foster a better gut outcome. Now, let me explain this. Immune cells patrol the gut, your intestines, to ensure that harmful microbes hidden in the food we eat don't sneak into the body. Now, if you eat meat or, let's say, tuna for sushi, or if you eat undercooked food, you really have a capacity to have a toxic gut. But if you are eating processed foods with lots of sugar, the same thing happens. You're creating a toxic gut, autotoxemia. So cells that are capable of triggering inflammation are balanced by cells that promote tolerance, protecting the body without damaging sensitive tissues. So when the balance tilts too far towards inflammation, inflammatory bowel disease can result. Now researchers at Washington State School of Medicine in St. Louis have found that a kind of tolerance-promoting immune cell appears in mice that carry a specific bacterium in their guts. So one more reason why tryptophan helps in the building blocks of proteins, and that triggers the good cells to appear. And it also gives you a better night's sleep. 5-hydroxytryptophan about 2 hours before you go to bed, boom, you're down. You sleep. You don't wake up. Also, I was asked recently about oil pulling. In fact, I was asked that question on Saturday. The person says, I'm not quite sure what exactly is oil pulling, P-U-L-L-I-N-G. Well, it's been used for a long time to maintain oral hygiene. And there are a lot of studies on this. But understand your mouth. Your mouth is considered as the mirror of the general health of your body. Oral cavity harbors billions of microorganisms. Some of these contribute to the development or progression of systemic disease, like cardiovascular disease, diabetes mellitus, etc. So keeping your mouth healthy, your gums healthy, your teeth healthy, your tongue healthy is absolutely all interrelated. So it's very important to maintain oral health. Now, antibiotics can adversely affect that. Alcohol absolutely destroys the positive bacteria. It starts with alcohol. Anything highly acidic, meat's highly acidic, sugar is acidic. So oil pulling is claimed to improve oral health, and it came into light and popularity some time ago, but it's been used for a long time in the natural hygiene of people living in India. It's a natural part of many cultures. And what it is basically is, instead of using toothpaste for the next week to brush your teeth, to gargle with, and mouthwash, use coconut oil, raw, organic coconut oil. And you just brush your teeth as you normally would, and you floss your teeth as you normally would, and then gargle with some coconut oil and then spit it out. And that's helping rebalance the entire oral hygiene. Why they call it pulling, I'm not sure, but it's really just using coconut oil. I remember when I was given a call one day, and it was late in the afternoon, around 4 o'clock, and this guy said, "Hey, Noel." I said, "Yes." He said, "Want to do a debate?" "With whom?" "Surgeon General." I said, "Fine." "When?" "2 hours from now." "Where?" "PBS headquarters." "Okay." So I went down there. There was the Surgeon General, Jocelyn Elders, and we went on the set and we debated. Now, I don't see the point of making someone look bad. I don't believe in blood sport. And also, why not help complement what she's doing if she is going to help women in particular in areas that have been neglected? And unfortunately, she got on the wrong side of supporting hormone replacement therapy. So if you watch the film on YouTube, you'll see that I maneuvered around her answer to compliment her by saying you know, it's good that we have a woman as Surgeon General looking at women's issues from a different perspective, from the female perspective. And then I talked about the importance of hormone replacement therapy, but I mentioned that it's natural hormone therapy that we want to support. And I was sure that the Surgeon General knew that hormone therapy that is orthodox ones, meaning that all your doctors are doing, all your gynecologists, obstetricians, pediatricians, they're giving women hormone replacement therapy, but that could harm them, increasing heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia by minimum of 13%. Well, do the math. You have 10 million American women using hormone replacement therapy each year. That means that every year we are sacrificing the health of 1,300,000 women on the altar of greed and medical hubris and indifference. So I said, but it's natural hormone replacement with Vitex and squalvine and compatible natural hormone that balances estrogen and progesterone. And that can turn off hot flashes, remineralize the bone. Well, also in addition to that, what no one knew is I had just completed the first ever scientific health support group, an actual clinical study, where we took 500 women who all had a menopause, were in it or post, and had all these symptoms. I mean, thinning of the bone, facial hair growing, hair on their scalp thinning and falling out in clumps, their eyebrows thinning, toenails and fingernails becoming fungus and ridged and cracked, fatigue, weight gain without eating extra food. And by following a very strict protocol, and we met every week for a year, we were able to, the first time ever, completely reverse everything in menopause. In fact, 8 of the women actually reversed postmenopause, meaning the oldest, I think, was a nurse who had been postmenopause 8 years, and she got her period again. But she also got vaginal secretions again, so she could have normal intimacy without chafing and pain and blood and infection, which is very common in women who are menopausal. Also, her skin. She said, Gary, in this last year, my skin is de-aged by 15 years. And her hair grew back in thick and its natural color. She was 58 years old. So she was just one example because she spoke on the last evening. So I just want to let you know that I'm going to redo that study coming up in the near future. But that night I shared all this with the Surgeon General, and afterwards I gave her the book that Barbara Seaman, one of the most important voices and one of the most reasonable voices within the second generation of feminists, we wrote the book together. It was 1,600 pages. And then we went on this tour and we did a PBS special for women only. It was very popular, very successful. But I remember Jocelyn Elders, when we got out of the studio, she turned to me and she gave me a hug and she said, you know, thank you for sharing some insights I wasn't aware of. I said, well, what would be the point of arguing? Cooperation is what we need if we want to help people, not competition. And I don't know what she did with that information, but here's the latest study to show you what it means to be on the right side of an issue, even if the establishment and the entire medical establishment has been on the wrong side of almost every major medical issue. On cancer, heart disease, dementia, arthritis, they've been on the wrong side and have killed people. Millions of unnecessary deaths because of being on the wrong side. Now, why can't they go on the right side? They're smart. They're highly educated. They're very disciplined. Because of the idea that we can't have two beliefs simultaneously. The dominant belief will collapse all other beliefs. And with it, then you become, you know, a person who believes what's on Wikipedia or what's in the New York Times or what's in the Washington Post or believes these dancing clowns on CNN and these other unfortunate purveyors of misinformation. This is from the University of Pittsburgh. Quote, hormone therapy linked to heart fat and hard arteries. Quote, hormone replacement therapy is a common treatment for menopause-related symptoms. A new research from the University of Pittsburgh Graduate School of Public Health reinforces the importance of tailoring hormone therapy to each patient. It never is, by the way, based on our individual risk factors. for cardiovascular disease. And this was published in the Journal of the American Heart Association. Then it goes on to talk about how you end up with a fatty heart. You do not ever want accumulation of fat because that's a risk factor for cardiovascular disease, and especially in women who are approaching menopause. And also, when you have a fatty heart, you're far more likely to die. And also, you don't want fat deposited in the arteries. Fatty arteries, you're going to die absolutely positively sooner than anyone else with no symptoms. Boom, you go down with a heart attack. Now, mind you, 20 years ago, it was shown that synthetic hormone replacement therapy, which was what 99% of all women do, increases heart attack, stroke, dementia, cardiovascular disease, colorectal disease. All right? That has already been proven. So why is it that now we're saying, oh, look, there's a new study when we already showed that we were killing women or having millions of women, millions, have heart attacks and stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia, and not a single solitary thing has been done to challenge or change anything in medicine. Not at all. That's how much they disrespect women. That's how much misogyny is built into the whole medical model. That's how much contempt they have for you and your world and your reality. You're nothing more than a broken part that's profitable being repaired, even if the repair is unsuccessful or you die because of the treatment. I can assure you no one is going to give a refund for having failed at something they could have succeeded at. That's the latest on health and healing. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about having why we should have protein 3 times a day from McGill University. I've got a lot more to share on these, but we're going to take a break and come back with our special in-depth investigative report, deep, intellectual, but important that we have at least one of these articles that can be shared all over the network, everywhere. Please share what I'm about to share with you to as many places. Share it with your legislators. Share it with Tulsi Gabbard, who's running for president. She's the only person running for president that has stood up against the establishment, the neoliberal propagandists. She stood up against the military-industrial complex. She stood up. She's spoken out. She's not afraid. She's now going against genetically modified foods. So in one respect, even though she did not stand up for Palestine, she did not stand up for the right to protest and boycott Israel on their Palestinian issue, she backtracked on that. All right. But they're now going to destroy her. Mark my words. MSNBC and CNN, all of the publications, liberal publications, which are really corporate publications, they're all going to destroy her. She's the only one of the whole group who's on the right side of all the issues that really matter. So send her this article and send her the GMO articles. Send her the vaccine articles, because now if you're anti-vaccine, if you want alternative cancer therapies, if you want to eat organic, you're now a domestic terrorist, according to the FBI. Like, they're experts on anything except setting people up, right? Back in a moment. Before we go to our special in-depth report, for you who would like to be citizen journalists, let's see how good you do. Before we can bring in and work with you, we have to show that you can do the job. I'm going to give you some ideas. Do the work, do the research, write up a report, and send it over to Jesse at what is our prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com. and we'll review them. If we see you've done good homework, you've been objective and fair and honest, you've made up the report, good. Here are some topics. One is we'd like to see, let's see, how many of the mass shooters have been on psychiatric meds for the past 30 years. That's one topic. We know the answer. We've done the report. I'd like to see your research to see if you can do this. We can't rely upon just a few of us, like maybe 100 in all of America, writing articles to do original investigative reporting and share it with you. We need thousands of people doing this. That's one. Separately, look into how Google and Facebook, you don't have to worry about Wikipedia, we got that covered, Google and Facebook have used their platforms to promote their own ideologies and censor everyone else. Let's see a report. Do one on Google, one on Facebook. All right? Let's talk about the true numbers for unemployed. 103 million Americans who once worked full-time are now alive and not employed full-time, and yet they're not included in the unemployment numbers, these false, stupid 3.7%. All right? Do a report on that, how we've been lied to about unemployment. Another topic, do a report on how we've been lied to about how we're prospering in our society. When you compare our debt, $260 trillion of all of our debt in America, corporate debt, individual debt, state debt, county debt, mortgage debt, car loan debt, government unfunded and entitled debt, we're bankrupt. But no one's willing to tell that story. No economist is telling it. No one's telling it. Be the first. Tell it. All right? Just some things to see if you got the chops to do the job. I'm looking for a full-time personal assistant because I have so many projects going on, and I'm going to be traveling again in about 8 to 10 weeks. There's a whole lot we got to get accomplished. So if you're a person who's got good communication skills, can multitask, can keep focus, discipline, details matter, send your bio over, a resume, at prnstudio@gmail.com. We'd like to hear from you. The title of this is Medical Skepticism, Today's Scientific Cultural Disease. Modern-day skepticism is one of those annoying contagions that won't go away. It is rather like a persistent candida yeast infection, but of the brain. It is painful to common sense, reason. Worse, skepticism flares up when you least expect it. On the internet, primarily on Wikipedia, its ideology and propaganda go largely unnoticed. It's shielded by Google, camouflaged by sharp criticism, serving as a non-appointed judge and jury and executioner rather than as an objective voice of logic. Therefore, we have no reservations in stating that the extreme scientific reductionist represented by skepticism, especially biological and medical skepticism, in our personal opinion, is a serious threat to medical innovation, scientific discovery, and in the long term, your health. Although skepticism has been a worldview dating back to the 19th century, today skepticism is far more radicalized and weaponized. Because skeptics believe they represent the pinnacle of scientific materialism. Many of the movement's celebrity gurus feel they are the entitled saviors to redeem modern civilization from thousands of years of past history when human societies utilized medicinal plants and ancient mind-body practices to treat illnesses, and the role of religion and spiritual practices, faith and belief, to provide and promote a sense of well-being and psychological wholeness. As with so much of our dysfunctional postmodern world, skepticism is therefore a natural outgrowth of white dominant patriarchal entitlement that continues to plague postmodern society. It is another perversion of identity politics, however disguised under the banner of science. Within the larger skeptic movement is a faction that goes under the name of science-based medicine. For the past 25 years, modern medicine has been steered by what is commonly known as evidence-based medicine, a widely accepted theory that sound clinical decision-making for treating disease should be relied upon as evidence for randomized clinical trials and high-quality published papers and meta-analysis. In principle, science-based medicine largely supports evidence-based medicine, and to their credit, science-based medicine's foremost spokesperson Stephen Novella and David Gorski openly criticize evidence-based medicine's shortcomings, including the now epidemic of erroneous research being published in medical journals, the increasing trends in professional bias in order to reach positive results, and journals are being financially incentivized to publish such stories. But there's a lot of flaws that we're going to deal with. And one of the flaws, and I'm going to do part one of this article today and part two tomorrow because it's so long, is that if you were to go today with a disease, cancer, heart disease, dementia, Alzheimer's, COPD, multiple sclerosis, you would be given the best treatment that science-based medicine or evidence-based medicine believes is real. And you would try it. And in some cases, you may have some improvement. But it's not something that's easily reproducible. And that is the only treatment that will be acceptable, that which they deem supports their evidence, even when that evidence is flimsy to non-existent. On the other hand, there are those in this world that believe that faith, that the understanding the epigenetics of your conditioning, deconditioning yourself, changing your mindset, changing your attitude, changing your perception, changing your beliefs, will change your reality. And therefore, you within that mindset have the capacity to impact disease. They don't believe that at all. They believe prayer is just a form of superstition. They downplay and really attack religions, all religions. So I want to show you something now. We're going to juxtaposition two different beliefs. One is their belief that only they can help with their massive medical industrial complex with all of its medicines and surgery, and that's all there is. There's no other reality. And then we have this. Please pay attention and watch this. Go to PRN Facebook, Progressive Radio Network Facebook, and watch these people's testimonies. These all have complete medical documentation, years of medical treatment without any success until they tried something different.
We're not competing. We're just allowing ourselves to be open to our own potential.
Historically, we were not allowed to even believe that terminal illnesses, serious illnesses this far gone, could be improved, let alone reversed, to complete normalcy. We don't have just to maintain disease, we can reverse it. In a moment, we're going to go to a group of people, all of whom are learning the power of positive thinking, exercise, stress management, a plant-based diet, drinking clean water, and living an authentic life. I took a group of individuals with a full spectrum of conditions, and with my medical team,
We reviewed the outcome and found that every one of these people, in less than 2 weeks, were able to make major improvements. There are no gimmicks. There's no magic elixir. There's no tricks. It's just understanding what causes illness and how to lead people on a healthy journey to wellness. Now, let's go to these patients' stories.
I interview everyone before they come to the retreat to make sure it's the right event for them. And part of that is finding out what their backstory was, what prompted them to come to a retreat for 2 weeks, and then what happened to them while they were here.
I just felt that I needed to be here because I was looking for the tools to reverse my type 2 diabetes.
The fatigue was so bad that I couldn't even lift my arm to answer the phone. The bowel movements stopped about in 93, could no longer go to the bathroom at all, started doing enemas. That's how I got by for 15 years, I did enemas. My white blood count was super low. That doctor said, well, you're just too far gone, there's nothing we can do. He said, you don't have any white blood counts at all. They're all low. My red blood count was also way low. And then, obviously, I had anemia, severe anemia, and everything else.
I wanted to address the issues of brain fog, and I realize that I'm forgetting a little bit more now as I grow older. So I was very concerned about that, so I wanted to, that was one issue. The other is my blood pressure. It seems to be out of alignment with me, and the doctor seemed not to be able to find a solution for my blood pressure that's up one day, down another.
I was given two chronic diagnoses. One is chronic lymphatic leukemia, which is a bloodborne cancer, and the other is chronic bronchitis. Chronic bronchitis is a form of COPD. I have two brothers, or had two brothers, who succumbed to COPD, and they lived a very miserable life. And I decided that I wanted a change. I wanted to do something about it. I did not want to go out of life that way.
Well, you're in an environment where you can not be stressed. A lot of Americans every day, they're stressed. And the stress causes cortisol. Then they're so anxious to either drink or take drugs or overeat or keep busy, which just recycles the stress. Here and other places like this, if people were up the Grand Canyon, if people were in the Pacific Northwest, in Oregon and Washington, out into the woods, if people were up around Vancouver in Canada, there are thousands of places in this wonderful, beautiful country of ours to go and be near nature and exhale, decompress.
I have felt more relaxed here than I felt in such a long time. The tension has actually gone from my neck.
Yeah.
I had been carrying it and didn't realize it. But after being here for just the first week, I began to relax. I began to breathe, feel more alive.
So right now, you have no COPD. Your lungs are clear.
My lungs are clear, and I've had a third check with the pulmonologist because they were wanting to suggest therapy. But they could find no obstruction, so they had no justifications for respiratory therapy.
So 3 out of 3 board-certified pulmonologists says you got a clean bill of health.
Yes.
Garrett had given me breathing techniques on getting the oxygen in and breathing it out properly, and you find your zone. Well, I found my zone on Monday. So now I can breathe again. I feel alive. I feel actually that my lungs have been reborn. And this is a revelation for me. I feel that it's a miracle. And this is something that I can take in the future. But I offer this as an opportunity to tell you about exceeding your limitations. I have exceeded my limitations 1,000-fold.
Today, I walked 27 miles, which I had never done before August, and let alone after my diagnosis. So I will say that, like, the biggest thing I've learned is, like, when you let go of your fear, like, anything is possible. And when you let go of other people's fear that they're putting on top of you, anything is possible. And then there's space for you to, like, not only help yourself, but others.
I was able to eat food, which was a huge accomplishment. Not only was I able to eat food, by the third or fourth day here, I had a bowel movement on my own. So that's not something you like to talk about. But that, and ever since then, I've had bowel movements on my own. I've been able to eat food, even though it's still a limited diet. I can eat food. And I continue to detox and try to clean in a way that is more manageable to my body. And so things definitely improved.
Could you have thought of doing 6 miles?
Oh, no. No. A mile was tops, and that was leisure walk, and that was having to stop.
I did do 3 when I started, and I would be hurting like hell when I was done.
And how many did you do today?
9.
Woo!
So, and I feel fine. I could do more if I wanted. But I'm hungry.
What I've learned this trip is there's a whole spiritual side, the whole mental side of life that you got to change also. And even though I changed a lot of it, I didn't change enough. So, and you have to clear all them things. And it goes all the way back through your childhood, all the way back through the whole thing. So I hope to carry that on. I hope to continue to detox.
When I started the retreat, my blood sugar was about 190. On Monday, my blood sugar dropped all the way to 80. So that was a so that's almost what that is in the normal range.
I had acupuncture. I had a treatment for my brain fog. And within a day, I could tell that I was a better feeling person. I was able to speak with more fluidity. I was walking at home, and I was rather slow. I have a dog, and I would walk my dog. But I would measure my steps by the number of blocks I could take. And I wasn't doing very good. But I know now that I can walk, and I've been doing some rather fast walking. And I'm not out of breath. I feel strong. I feel empowered. It was just a miracle, an absolute miracle.
About 30 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And the doctor said to me, get your affairs in order. And I tried to do that, but I didn't want to just quit and stop. I wanted to succeed. And I was able to, with the help of Gary Null and his holistic organization and his approach, he turned conventional medicine literally upside down. And rather than taking drugs to put down my immune system so it wouldn't attack itself, he enabled me to blossom my immune system so that I could run the New York City Marathon 15 years having multiple sclerosis. With the help of Gary, he was able to coach me to get me to run the full New York City Marathon as a competitive runner, not even as a disabled runner, and I finished it.
I came here in intense pain that I've suffered for more than a year. That pain is gone. I am almost pain-free. And I consider that quite miraculous, considering that the pain was almost crippling. It stopped me from living. And now I'm alive again.
What has happened in the last 1 week, in fact, it's been 5 days, it hasn't even been 7 days, I am now able to walk with some assistance, but I am able to walk. I probably will be using a cane for the next few months, but at least I'm able to do that. My toes are now natural color. I've always had lower back pain. Now that's gone. My vision I couldn't function without eyeglasses for close-up and eyeglasses for distance. I'm not using eyeglasses. Now, Gary has said to me, Bill, this is not a miracle. It's just your body saying thank you. Now you've got to continue the journey. You've got to continue to do your exercises, to eat properly, and throw away, don't hold on to that pier, throw away, let go of it, and survive in a way that your body was intended to, not mistreating it as you have been over the years.
I wasn't going to treat my disease with fear, and I didn't want to be a victim to it. I wanted to have self-esteem and self-confidence, which I always had, and I wanted to see my disease with that entailed. So I went on Dr. Gary Null's protocol, and it wasn't an easy protocol. I stuck to it to the max every single day. Vegan dieting, physical well-being, exercise, self-esteem. I brought that out in myself. I worked on that, making sure my spiritual and my emotional being was great. And I decided that the only way I was going to beat this monster was with my mind and Dr. Gary Null's protocol. So I stuck with it for 19 years, and here I am, stage 4, breast cancer, clean, in remission, I'm well. But I'm back here for a tune-up, and I wanted you all to know that at the time that I was diagnosed and I was going through my protocol, a year later when I was in remission, my oncologist in New York said to me, Gail, you're the only documented case in New York State that was stage 4 breast cancer that went into remission with no chemotherapy. And at that time, he said to me, I would like to know what you did. And I said, I followed this protocol by Dr. Gary Null. And he said, I would like to see it. I said, okay. So I brought it to him, and he said, we are building an alternative wing to the North Shore University Hospital in Great Neck. And he said, I would like to have your protocol and put that in the alternative wing so we can offer it to many other patients. And I think that's a wonderful thing that the medical world is now becoming aware that there is a cure, there is a help to fulfilling and changing the cancer regime, which doesn't always include chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, tamoxifen, that there's other ways to cure this cancer.
My son was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis 14 years ago at the tender age of 17. And not knowing anything about it, we sought the best doctors we thought we could find, the best neurologists from New Jersey to New York to everywhere we could possibly, our research could lead us. Well, all of those doctors over the course of years of just medicating my son continued to tell us that one medication would work and it didn't, and we try another and it didn't, to the point where we finally were told that there was nothing else we could do about his symptoms and we'd have to get a pump installed in his stomach in order to stop the serious spasms and pains that he was having. So we didn't believe that that was the way we should go. And with such a young person, I definitely wasn't going to make that my decision to make for him. So we sought other alternative treatments, and after working with several people in our area, having known about Gary Null's retreat, knowing about his protocols, having followed him for many years, I knew that that's where the answer was. So we made it here, and after 5 days, 5 days after the first day, in fact, but 5 days as of today, we are now experiencing, and I say we because as a mother, I feel it too, but he is experiencing freedom from his tremors. He had Parkinson-like tremors. We're experiencing freedom from the spasms. They come intermittently, but oh my gosh, have they subsided significantly. Tremors in his eyes are completely gone. And he is just a new person. He sits with posture he didn't before. He has confidence he didn't have before, and he's looking forward once again to a bright future at 31. It's not over, and we realize that we were misled, but there's hope, and there's something out there that works, and we found it here with Gary Null.
As my mother was speaking about, when I first came down with the multiple sclerosis, the neuro-ophthalmologist diagnosed me with optic neuritis. And that is when my eyeballs just shook like they were playing tag. But now my eyes are calm. My right hand would shake like I was making popcorn in an amusement park. Not anymore. I can even wave to you. Like, it's just so many things. So many reasons for me to thank Gary. So many reasons for me to thank the remarkable staff of this retreat. And so many things for me to look forward to, because this is only the beginning.
My name is Hisako. Okay.
The last person is a couple. He's 95. When he arrived, he had no eye contact. He was looking down. He had the Alzheimer's stare, like a dead stare. No communication. He couldn't do anything for himself. Couldn't brush his teeth. Couldn't feed himself. His wife had to do everything for him. And in 2 weeks, sitting in one of my lectures, I asked a question. He held up his hand. He had the answer. It was easy, fluid, and articulate. And he was correct. And then he cracked a joke. And then he cracked more jokes. And he was answering all the questions. I'd ask questions. He'd answer them all. His eyes were up. He was able to shave himself, brush his teeth, and find his way around. He was exercising. And she came over to me. She says, "Thank you. I've got my husband back." So here is the, and we don't have time for all the other testimonials, but I have thousands of those. Thousands. So either none of that is real, and Orthodox in the New York Times would like to believe none of that is real. It's not possible, because it's not a part of the Orthodox model. And yet it is real. In my entire career, this has been the outcome. So we're told to believe only one thing is possible in our mind, the Orthodox approach to anything, and everything else must be collapsed under it as pseudoscientific or quackery. It's time that we stopped believing that there's only one truth to our problems. Now, they can have their treatments, and that's fine. If they can help people, I support that. But they have denigrated and repealed logic when it comes to any other type of therapy. So imagine they deny chiropractic care. They deny herbs, homeopathy, alternative and complementary medicine, meditation, prayer. They deny all that has any legitimacy. And yet every person you just saw, including the man who hadn't had a solid bite of food in 25 years, had not had a bowel movement on his own in 15 years, within 4 days is able to eat food and be normal in his bowel movements. Could they have done that? Have they done that? We bring forward. Now, I only did this today to show the juxtapose those who are cynical and bitter and angry at anyone who achieves what they can't. Isn't it time that all natural therapy be given an opportunity to show what's already in the peer-reviewed literature, the actual scientific literature, the library of medicine, supports all this. But the media, the governmental agencies like the FDA and CDC, the politicians refuse to acknowledge the reality of any other type of natural healing. More tomorrow. Thank you all for watching and listening, and have a nice day.